Stay tuned for Cinema Clash with Charlie and Hannah, featuring two film critics with distinctly different tastes in movies, Charlie Jewell of charliejewell.com and Hannah Buchdahl of chickflix.net. He thinks her tastes are shallow. She thinks his are pretentious. Listen in as they discuss and debate new releases and other film-related topics. Let the clash begin.
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Clash. I am Charlie Jewell.
And I'm Hannah Buchdahl.
And this is a special edition of the Cinema Clash. We're not bringing you the four or five new movies that are going to hit the theaters this week. In fact, we're going to give you the worst movies of 2016. Hannah, did you make your list?
I made my list, but I don't think we're necessarily not talking at all about the movies coming out this week. There just really simply isn't much coming out this week that's worth talking about.
It's a very convenient week to squeeze this in. For whatever reason, the biggest movie being released this week is Man Down, starring Shia LaBeouf, which we chose not to go to.
Yeah, it looked just really weak, and I think sometimes you just have to say, we've got too much other stuff to see, and everything about this movie just screams, like, go see Hacksaw Ridge instead.
And there's also a much smaller independent film opening called The Eyes of My Mother. Good Lord, do not watch this movie. I remember right after I finished this movie, I texted you, Hannah, stay away from this movie. This is not for you.
And that meant that I immediately popped it into the DVD player and felt like I had to watch it. And I lasted, I think it was a record for me of least amount of time watching a movie before hitting the stop button. And that was about 2 minutes.
So I made it all the way through. And it really wasn't a terrible movie. But man, there's some subject matter in there that is stomach churning.
The first 2 minutes was enough for me. As soon as I saw the cow's head on the kitchen table.
Serves a purpose.
I don't care that it serves a purpose. I was done.
All right. Well, you wanted to make a slight disclaimer before we launch into our lists here. What did you want to say about the worst movies of the year?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, I think it's really hard for me sometimes to really talk about the worst movies because there are some movies that I intentionally skip because my gut instinct is that they're going to be terrible. And then that's borne out by what other people then say. And so there are a few of those that probably would have made most people's list for worst movies, but I did not see them. The other caveat is simply that I, unlike you, find some redeeming value in movies that might be considered fluff or popcorn movies, escapist fare that may not have the deepest, kind of story going with them, but I enjoyed for one reason or another, and so I don't think it's fair necessarily to slam them entirely.
Well, I try to see just about everything I can, and even if I've heard it's going to be bad or I know it's going to be bad, I still go. Because that means I can participate fully in a podcast like this.
Well, that's when I go and I watch those ones that you asked me to watch, like those French films that are often god-awful bad, and I see them anyway. So it's not that I'm not seeing a lot more movies than I did before. I'm just saying that there are movies like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 or whatever that I'm like, I don't need to see that one. Or, there was Dirty Grandpa that I think you saw that I did not see. There was Independence Day Resurgence that I was going to see, but then everyone told me how terrible it was, and I skipped. So those are the kinds of movies that I think fall into.
I also made a little list of movies I did not get to see this year that I heard were atrocious. Mm-hmm. I did not see Mother's Day,
and you
took some serious
to
heat over that. Some people took serious life-altering offense at that film.
At the fact that I did not hate it.
I did not see Nine Lives, where Kevin Spacey voices a cat.
Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
I did not see The Wildlife.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about The Wildlife, which I did see and was pretty
awful.
Darn bad.
I did not see Independence Day Resurgence.
Mm-hmm. So Good call. On both our counts, I think.
But you mentioned you try to find some redeeming value. No, I think if you're going to, movie studios are not looking out for your best interest. They are callous. They can be cruel and cynical. And I go to these movies to see, to confirm that. Like Paramount, who's on my list a couple times, shame on you. you're not nice. And I'm not finding any redeeming value in some of these.
Well, we'll see. Because as we go through our lists, I will try and explain when I find some redeeming value and others. There are a few on there that are absolutely just not for anyone in that I can even imagine telling to go see.
All right. Well, we're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I can't wait just to hear you put something on your list where it gives me a heart attack, or I just have a feeling we're going to overlap a lot.
And I do have a few of those sort of ties, you know.
No.
I'm sorry. I
had
to do it.
Huge honorable mention list here.
There are a couple that I just sort of had to lump together because they were equally bad for the same reason.
I hate when you do
that. It's a cop out. I'm sorry.
Number 5, Hannah.
So number 5 is my first double feature of Gods of Egypt and Ben-Hur.
Oof.
Both epic messes that were just so disappointing. And I think Gods of Egypt may be slightly worse than Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur lost it for me in the final scene. This final crucifixion scene,
You mean you were actually with it until then?
I was more with it just more because it was just good eye candy and it was, you know, engaging on some level. But that last scene was sort of the crucifixion scene, I'm sorry to say, was the final nail.
And then they just kind of hug it out, right? Remember correctly, they hug it out and walk away.
Yeah, whatever it was, it just...
my bad. I threw everybody and I killed all these people and...
Yeah.
My bad, whatever. Yeah.
So those were, I think, you know, in terms of epic disappointments.
That's a good way to put it there. They're like these fake epics, these wannabe epics, epic disappointment. You're punning all over the place.
I'm trying.
The final nail, epic disappointment.
Oh, you caught that, huh?
It was a little thick, but yes, I caught it.
All right, so you're 5, Charlie.
Number 5. You mentioned it already. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Out of the Shadows. Oh man, we've got Megan Fox. Ugh. Tyler Perry shows up in here as the mad scientist. I wanted to quote Tyler Perry from this film. Inside every human, there's a dormant gene which ties us to our animal ancestors. It's as if the ooze has returned them to their rightful place in the animal kingdom. That is the plot.
I don't get it.
Out of the Shadows. It's terrible. The teenage mutant ninja turtles. There's no martial arts in this film. When they fight, it's like hand-to-hand fighting, or they use their specific weapons every now and then. There's no martial arts. Michelangelo is too busy yelling at me that this is awesome. Whatever he's doing right now is so awesome. And he's eating pizza, and they're just making the dumbest jokes, and they look terrible. I was a defender of the first reboot of this film. It was like 2 years ago. I was like, you know what? I grew up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm okay. Reboot it. That's fine. It was funny. It was cheeky. And then it made money. So naturally, Paramount said, we're going to make a sequel because it made money. This one made about half as much money, so maybe we won't get a third, but of course we're going to get a third because that's what they do, and it's a terrible movie.
Well, and I was never a fan. It just wasn't my it wasn't my era for the first one, and so I never saw the reboot. Therefore, I did not go see this one, and obviously I made the right call.
Laura Linney shows up in this movie.
Oh, that's sad. That's just sad.
Number 4, Anna.
So number 4 is Warcraft, which is another one of those movies that was just kind of made because some video game maker thought it made money as a video game and therefore it could make a good movie. And unless you know what an orc is and understand that an orc horde invades this planet Azeroth, then you're not going to understand this movie at all. And frankly, I really didn't. And so it's strictly... only can appeal to fans of the video game, and frankly, I'm not sure who they are.
I surprisingly did not hate Warcraft. I've never played it. I didn't know the video game, so I just went to see the film as an independent structure, and it kind of worked for me. It was a throwback to like these old cheesy sci-fi fantasy films, and I kind of liked Ben Foster as the creepy mage, and you know, it was terrible acting. The story's weak, but but I have 31 other movies over here that I think are worse than Warcraft.
And that's why I say that it's hard to really put a list of worst together, because one person's worst is an okay movie by someone else's standards. And so I hesitate to put things into that worst category because, hey, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad somebody liked it okay.
I didn't like it. Well, it just didn't, you know, a lot of people agree with you. People hate Warcraft. It's got such a low tomato reading, and people hate that movie.
It was just one of those movies where I just remember sitting there through it thinking, where is this going and when will it end? And for me, that means that it makes my list of worst movies.
It set itself up for a sequel. Remember that?
Oh my gosh, it did. And let's hope.
I don't think it made that much money. It made a lot of money in China.
This Warcraft deserves to get a sequel about as much as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles deserves to get a third.
All right. Number four, Ride Along 2. I hated the first one. It made a ton of money. Therefore, let's listen to Kevin Hart just be an idiot again and just scream all of his lines and mess everything up and Ice Cube stand in the background and just shake his head at him. He's shaking his head going, I'm just here for the paycheck is what he's doing. They want to make it more exotic. It was an Atlanta film. Now they go to Miami. Let's make it more exotic. Let's bring in Benjamin Bratt and an alligator and let's have the big shootout at the port. Because, you know, that's what you do in Miami. And there's nothing original here. Ken Jeong shows up, who, you know, if Ken Jeong's in your film, it's just going to be frustrating. It's so long ago. Kevin Hart is marrying Ice Cube's sister. So Ken Jeong makes that, I guess this is funny. He's in the back seat and he goes, good cop, sex cop. I'm like, really? That's funny? What a stupid movie.
See, and Ride Along 2 did not make my worst list at all because that falls into the category of fine, mindless entertainment rental material. And
not rental material.
I liked the first Ride Along, and now I certainly like the first Ride Along way better. The second one is a retread for sure. And Ice Cube in this one felt like he completely phoned it in for Ride Along 2. That being said, it didn't kill me. I just, you know, it was one of those movies where you watch it.
You remember
you
laughing?
Laugh a little.
No,
a
you don't
few,
laugh a
there
little.
There were a few chuckles, but I didn't hate it.
Ugh. Number three, Hannah.
So my number three is another tie with two movies that are the types of movies that you would like. And so my caveat on this one is that
I hope you at least saw them all.
I watched them all the way through, but while they are critically acclaimed, I don't see why people would want to go see these. And if you talk about style over substance, which I'm sure you're about to, these just are movies that
stylistically... Oh, don't tell me you're about to put something on there.
I am putting as my tie the two four weird movies that I just didn't get, but I did watch, was The Neon Demon. Mm-hmm. And High Rise, which I had to kind of go back. I had to go back and remember exactly what High Rise was. I know. But I felt like I had to put those two together because they were in that realm of, oh, Charlie will really like these. And I don't get it. And anybody who's in the mainstream is not going to want to see these movies.
You know what? You don't like originality. You don't like things you've never seen before. If you've never seen The Neon Demon before, and since you haven't, you're afraid of it. You're scared of it. You run away.
No, in
you're
fact, I watched. I watched it through to the very, very end.
I know, but you
and I won't give away what that
like
final scene is.
It's fascinating,
but it is disgusting.
Someone eats something and then they cough it up.
It is. It's got cannibalism and it's got just
The Neon Demon is beautiful. It is gorgeous. It might be a thin-ish story, but it is so fun to watch.
Fun for who?
You know, the biggest problem with Neon Demon is Keanu Reeves is in it.
And I didn't even notice it was Keanu Reeves at first.
And High Rise, what a beautiful idea. It's an adaptation of a beloved novel. Class warfare, you're the richer you are, the higher up in the high rise you live, so the bottom rebels against the top.
They're interesting ideas. I'm not rejecting the ideas. I am rejecting the execution as something that 99% of the people out there will not care to see.
That's because they're afraid of new.
They're not afraid of new. They just want to actually watch something they might like.
Well, my number three, which is a retread of something old, Gods of Egypt.
Okay.
And actually, I think they goofed on the title, Gods of Egypt. If you're writing an English class, it should be Egyptian gods. remember when they fight? They're kind of tall humans to begin with, but when they fight, they morph into like 20 feet tall animal things.
I'd forgotten that.
And Gerard Butler was in it, and probably worst. And he steals homeboy's eyes.
Oh yeah.
Chadwick Boseman, I think, is the worst actor of the year in that. It's just a terrible, terrible role. And it was like Thor. It reminded me of Thor.
I like Thor.
He's about to take over. He's going to become king. king retires, son, you're my firstborn, you become king. And, you know, you can just see he's not ready to be king, and he needs to learn some life lessons. And, you know, a couple of million poor Egyptians die for it, but he learns his lesson, and I think he'll become a good king in the end.
Thor is a lot better. There's a little bit of eye candy, as I recall, in this movie that made it a little more palatable than it otherwise might have been.
I mean, Jeffrey Rush in the chariot whatever it was going around the sky.
Yeah, that was weird. There's definitely some elements of that movie that just went off the rails where it had potential. I think I recall the first half hour or something actually being engaging, and I thought it was going to be decent, and then it just took a turn.
It was heavy 3D, very fake looking.
Yeah.
The pyramids and Cairo, just fake.
But disappointing. There are a few people who, if they're into Egyptian mythology.
Always trying to find. No, they,
I am.
Actually,
I do try to find
the most
silver
offended.
Lining.
If you're into mythology, you would be so offended by this thing.
But no, I do try to find the silver lining the same way you try to find the silver lining in something really grotesque like The Eyes of My Mother or High Rise or Neon Demon.
Because those are actually well-constructed, well-made films. Gods of Egypt is not a well-made film.
I'm trying to find the silver lining in the movies that people are actually possibly going to actually see.
But if we urge them to see awesome originality,
I would not urge anyone
like the Neon Demon.
To see the Neon Demon.
By the way, the Neon Demon we didn't mention was directed by Nicholas Winding Refn. He did Drive. Everyone loved Drive.
I love Drive. Even I love Drive.
And he did Only God Forgives, which I think I'm the only person on earth who liked.
He did not see.
And so he's a polarizing director.
He is, but he managed to find some middle ground in Drive. Drive was one that I think hit a mainstream nerve that his other movies just have not. And so for anyone who might have thought, well, I like Drive, so maybe I'll like this movie too, it is not the same. And it's just because you like the one, you're not necessarily going to like the other.
Mainstream audiences did not like Drive. They went because they thought it was Ryan Gosling stealing cars and driving fast. And it turns out it's about something called existentialism.
Oh, no, anything with Ryan Gosling, you get bonus points for moving towards the mainstream or towards the center. So maybe not mainstream in its entirety, but mainstream for someone like me who normally shies away from movies by this particular director, I was surprised that even though it was very dark, I liked that one, and I just can't say that I felt the same way about Neon Demon at all.
Hannah, your runner-up worst movie of the year.
My runner-up is one that's been on there since I think the midpoint, and that is Suicide Squad. Mm. I found that to be the most disappointing of all the movies that I was actually looking forward to seeing, that I was not aware of these DC Comics characters up until the point where suddenly they were all over pop culture references everywhere. They were on the covers of all the magazines. And I was like, okay, who are these Suicide Squad characters? And they look kind of quirky and fun. And I like Avengers movies, and I like Batman and Superman, and I even was one of the few that was okay with Batman versus Superman. And so I went into this movie with high hopes, and it was the most disappointing of the bunch because to me it was just a hot mess, and there was nothing redeeming in any of these characters. There was nobody to root for, and for me you have to have something in these superhero movies to root for. Deadpool I could root for, this movie I could not.
Yeah, out of the, it feels like dozens of superhero movies we've had in the past couple years, Suicide Squad's probably the worst of them all. It's worse than Iron Man 2, Thor the Dark World.
Oh, way worse, way worse.
And, yeah, it's worse than Batman versus Superman. And you know what it is? They rushed it. Warner Brothers, I think it is, put a deadline on it. They said, we have to release it in the summer, July, August of 2016. You have like a year to make this thing. And it takes years to make like an Avengers film. And they made this so fast. The guy wrote this. You can tell he wrote the script in about 2 weeks. It's a terrible script.
Yeah.
It's so poorly written. You know, the effects are the effects. The characters are so thin. And it's just a really lame all-around story. And I'm surprised they rushed this so much. And of course, it made like $1 billion.
I know, exactly. Which is why it really doesn't matter sometimes what we say. And the market is so oversaturated with superhero movies because they all do well, no matter what. They just generally make money.
Except like Ant-Man.
But even Ant-Man was so much better than this one. So Ant-Man was actually good, but I think people felt oversaturated. And then this was supposed to be that anti-superhero quirky kind of movie. The only one who was any good was the blonde chick.
Oh, she wasn't that good.
Margot Robbie, was she playing her?
I think so.
It was, but that there was this one character that I just found at least somewhat entertaining. But there's, I don't even think if you didn't rush this movie, any script for these particular characters, you'd have to find a way to root for them. But by the very nature of who they are and what their mission is, you can't root for them. All I kept thinking was, why in the world would you pick these particular people to try and save the world when you've got your Batman and your Wonder Woman and your Superman out there? I'm like, I don't want to see these particular...
Yeah, the hook is they are villains who end up saving the world. And yeah, I wasn't rooting for them because they are bad guys and you see them do bad things and they're like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I just don't like you. And even their handler, I think it was Viola Davis...
Right.
Oh, man. She was evil.
And you need to, for this kind of movie, to make it work, you need to like them on some level. Deadpool, you liked on some level. You could actually...
I liked it on a lot of levels.
On a lot of levels, and that was a surprise. And so this one, you just... I certainly would hope that absolutely nobody would go and see Suicide Squad over something like Deadpool. If you haven't seen Deadpool, you got to see that one first.
Oh, yeah, I fear there's no one else to preach
just
the choir to
there. Just a little
honorable
mention tossed in there.
Well, my runner-up worst movie of the year has also been mentioned. Dirty Grandpa. Grandpa Robert De Niro kidnaps grandson Zac Efron, takes him to Spring Break Daytona Beach, and I quote, so they can party till you're pregnant. And of course, it made $100 million.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and of course, Zac Efron gets pregnant.
No. Well, he does crack, and just bad things happen to Zac Efron. But yeah, the movie made $100 million, so we'll probably see Dirtier Grandpa. The climax, the penultimate chase, takes place on a food truck. Aubrey Plaza, if you might remember her if you ever watched Parks and Rec. She plays this really. Morally ambiguous sorority girl who keeps trying to have sex with Robert De Niro, and her quote is, "I want you to tear open my bra like a social security check."
Okay,
and that's like the best. You know, they hype that up as the best line in the film, and it's a terrible movie. And when you think De Niro Pacino, both have had harder times in the last couple of years, but Pacino does not debase himself like De Niro does every now and then. This is not De Niro's first head scratcher. What is he doing here?
It's kind of sad because I like Zac Efron and I enjoy him in pretty much. I mean, he's done some fun things. His turn in Neighbors and Neighbors 2.
He was good in We Are Your Friends.
Yeah, and he was good in We Are Your Friends. He's good in a lot of movies. And so when he goes off the rails on one of these really bad ones, I feel bad for him because he's better than that. And you would think that a De Niro Zac Efron comedy would actually be good.
Money was right.
It's disappointing, and I did not see this one, and it's not one that I ever felt like I needed to go back and catch up on. I suspect that for rental market, it's probably going to do just fine for people who are just looking on there scrolling through for a comedy with Zac Efron.
And it's not, I hope they don't watch it with anyone under 15 or over 40.
Wow. Yeah. All right,
Hannah. Blow my mind with the worst movie of 2016.
I had to actually remember, go through my list.
I have a hunch of what it is because I haven't heard you say it yet.
Exactly. And it is indeed Knight of Cups.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to say Norm of the North.
Oh, you know what? In fact, Norm of the North is in my... It's so funny. I actually forgot they didn't make my five.
Knight of Cups?
I know.
Knight of Cups?
Knight of Cups is the one movie... I forgot about Norm of the North. But see, even Norm of the North, I think, had something redeeming above all these others. But okay. Before I go into my last one really quickly, I forgot. Norm of the North, Ratchet and Clank, and Angry Birds movies, three animated that I just throw out there is like just bad.
You forgot Ice Age Collision Course.
I didn't see Ice Age Collision
just
Course.
Animated films this year were terrible.
There have been some really good ones in the latter part. So you've got Moana, you've got Zootopia, you've got Trolls. The past couple of months, they've been decent. And so it was that early part of the year where they were obviously burning off the worst of the bunch. But Knight of Cups, I'd forgotten just how much I hated that movie. And if you went strictly by the number of people in the screening who walked out of this movie.
Man, there are a lot of them.
There were a lot. And I would have loved to join them. And I didn't because...
Was I driving?
I don't know if you were driving or I just felt like I had to or I don't know. But it is by Terrence Malick. Who did
a very famous man
auteur, and that's the other thing, anybody who's labeled an auteur over a director,
Badlands, The Thin Red Line,
Tree of Life, which
to
was
the Wonder.
One of my I hated Tree of Life.
See, you don't, you just
I hated it. And
that
so,
was Roger Ebert's number one film of like all time.
Well, too bad, sorry Roger, rest in peace. No, I just did not like that one. But I liked, if I had to watch Tree of Life now, after watching Knight of Cups, I probably would like it more. But Knight of Cups is one of those movies that just made no sense. And it was a drag. I could not wait for it to end. It was this A-list cast of people that just loves to work with this particular director. But it doesn't mean that the movie had any story that anyone could possibly follow and care about. And I just didn't.
It was very hard work. Ugh. I remember I walked out and I felt like I'd just taken a 2-hour exam for my master's. It's experimental.
Stream of consciousness, abstract, obtuse.
But, you know, what was it, Christian Bale?
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Natalie Portman. Did I see Cate Blanchett
in there?
I think
Cate Blanchett might have been in there. And he played like, Christian Bale played like this writer who was experiencing LA and Vegas through and with these six different women at different times. And I really don't
know. I never want to watch it again, but I'm glad I saw it because you know what, Hannah? He tried something new.
Oh, you can't say that because all of his stuff is like this. And so he's been trying something new for decades now. And so you either like it or you don't, and I don't. Sorry.
Man, you know what? That doesn't sting. It really doesn't. I didn't care for that movie, but I'll never get over the Neon Demon High Rise thing. the worst movie of the year is easily the choice to remake Ben-Hur. Right. They remade 1959's Ben-Hur because they said, what, it's been long enough, people don't remember it, and who's going to go see this movie? Anyone who remembers the first one's not going to go see this, and anyone who doesn't know about the first one's still not going to go see this because they don't care. And the Chariot Race, great, it's in IMAX and 3D, and it stinks because... the villain, you know, his half-brother or whatever, the adopted brother, leans over during the chariot race where he can't hear each other. People are dying because horses are running over. And he says, are we having fun yet, brother?
See, I was okay with that. I needed those moments because those moments are what saved the movie for me. So it was on I had that as my tied for number 5 with Gods of Egypt as an epic failure. But I did not hate it nearly as much as you did. And I'm telling you, I would watch Ben-Hur 100 times over rather than Knight of Cups one more time.
No, Ben-Hur is just, when I said cynical, like, imagine the room, though, when they're coming up with movie ideas, and like, I'm out of ideas, let's remake something, anything, whatever, Ben-Hur, remake Ben-Hur, go. And they did, and it shows, oh my lord, and it's obviously filmed in central Italy.
Yeah, no, it was a huge disappointment. Definitely. I cannot argue with you there, but to me it was not the worst of the bunch.
So we covered our top fives, and I want to get into some of my honorable mentions because I just had a long list of crap this year. And we mentioned animated films specifically. It just started off really bad. And then, of course, as they always do, the sequels. Ride Along 2. Now You See Me 2.
Didn't see that
one. Allegiant.
I like that one okay.
Huntsman Winter's War.
I thought that one was fine.
Zoolander 2.
That one was fine.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Did not see that one.
Mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Bad Santa 2.
Yeah, never saw the first,
and then
never saw the second.
The remakes of, we mentioned Ben-Hur, Ghostbusters.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
it's a horrible film. It's not good, but it's not terrible.
The mock films, 50 Shades of Black. Is on there.
Did not see that.
And the standalone ones that I remember not liking, The Fifth Wave.
Oh, but you know what?
Yeah, I know
that
what.
That was early on in the year, and it was when you put it up against some of these really, really, really bad ones, the fifth wave for the young adult crowd, I think, is fine.
Melissa McCarthy and The Boss.
That was sad.
And I did watch Sharknado The Fourth Awakens.
I did not see that one.
Better than Ben-Hur. Better than Ben-Hur.
I did not see any of the Sharknado movies, I must say.
I've seen them all.
Yeah, well, there you go. They're very happy to have you on board. And then, you know, yeah, most of those. But I do think, yeah, I remember The Boss being bad. But, like, Allegiant was okay. And
no,
it's
terrible.
One of
it was
ones,
so bad they chose not to make the next one.
I know,
one.
But you still, it's like if you already were following the Divergent series, then I think it was okay to see it. I mean, that's who it's for. I wouldn't recommend
what is that?
It.
What does that say? We know we're going to make four movies, and we're going to be cash grabby and split the third one into two like they did in Hunger Games. And, yeah.
No, it
and
means
Harry
it was
Potter,
a dud.
And it was so bad, they said, we can't finish the franchise.
It was a dud, but again, it's all relative.
So yeah, it was. We're in this realm of the year right now where everything is Oscar-worthy and everything's amazing. And just I'm happy right now to remember all the crap it took to get here.
Yeah, well, and I want to point out that even though there's nothing good opening this week, there's a lot that's decent that's out there. You have, for the family movies, you have Moana. You still have Fantastic Beasts. You have Doctor Strange. For the adults, you have Allied. You've got Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, Edge of 17 for the high schoolers. I don't know why they're not going to see it, but I wish they would.
I miss Nocturnal Animals.
Nocturnal Animals, yeah, maybe. Trolls, if you just have already seen Moana.
If you've given up on life.
And you like the music. Loving is still a good one that's out there. Manchester by the Sea is a good one that's out there. So the good news is that even if there's nothing new this week that's opening that's worth seeing, there's a lot to catch up on that you might have missed from the previous few weeks. And even better, a lot more good stuff coming down the pike over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man, the big ones are coming, Hannah.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm glad we had this kind of week to take a break to do this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a chance because La La Land is coming. Jackie
yes.
is coming.
Yeah.
The Miss Sloan, the big stuff.
And Office Christmas Party.
Oh, how could I forget?
That's right. That's next week, so hopefully we'll get to see that and talk
and
about
Star
it.
Star Wars
Rogue
is coming.
One. We got Rogue Star One Wars. Coming. Collateral Beauty that's supposed to be pretty good. So, yeah, the next couple of weeks, we should hopefully have a lot of good stuff to talk about, or at least stuff that I'll like. It's quite mainstream, Charlie.
Well, I need to go back and listen to last year's top five worst. I don't remember if these were worse than last year's or if this got a little bit better. It feels like it got worse, but it's tough to say.
I feel like we've talked about Norm of the North for 2 years now.
It's how long ago? It's almost been a year since that came out.
It does feel that way, which is why I forgot it on my list.
Well, somehow I will get over your terrible inclusion of certain films. But,
and I'll try and get over your terrible taste in certain films.
And I know you don't like doing top five worst lists. You're like a nice person or something.
Yeah,
I'm
like the Paula Abdul of judging.
I don't understand where you're coming from, all this nice business. But next week we'll get back into our regular routine of new films. So Hannah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Jewell.
I'm Hannah Buchdahl.
Thank you for listening.
Take care.
Cinema Clash with Charlie and Hannah is presented twice each weekend on RadioSt.Pete.com at 5:15 Eastern on Saturday and 9:15 on Sunday mornings. Cinema Clash with Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com and Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net. Listen again for Cinema Clash on RadioSt.Pete.com.